It's Kevin McCullough on AM 970, The Answer.
You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio, where we talk about breaking news as it happens, what it means, and why it matters.
Fusion.
Amplifying truth.
And pursuing clarity.
Kevin McCullough, now.
Got a huge show for you coming up. New York's favorite billionaire will be with us, John Catsimatidis. We'll also talk with Alicia Krauss from the Daily Wire about a variety of things, including the Facebook hearings that continue on Capitol Hill. But to top it all off, Kim Strassel from the Wall Street Journal on the latest in the Washington, D.C. chess match. Stay with us.
Bench thinking.
Something interesting is happening with this.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
I found this thing at townhall.com by Kevin McCullough.
The big dog
has come out of nowhere.
Kevin McCullough.
I just want to help people think.
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
He is playing a role.
As well as anybody could.
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
The odds are he's right.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
We have a very strong leadership team. That's one of the reasons why I took comfort in making this decision, because I know there's a capable leadership team I can hand the gavel on to.
All right, lots to get to. That's Paul Ryan, who I don't know if he surprised the world. I don't think a lot of people were in the dark that this was not a guy that enjoyed this job very much. He had to be dragged to it, kicking and screaming, when he was first given it. But what does it mean to the overall hierarchy of Washington, D.C., and particularly the 2018 elections in light of what's going to come up in 2020. We'll talk about all of that now with my next guest. She is the Potomac Watch columnist for The Wall Street Journal. She is one of the must reads that I label as such on Twitter and elsewhere. Kim Strassel, welcome back to Kevin McCullough Radio. Always a pleasure to have you.
Hello, Kevin. You are always so kind. Thank you.
So Paul Ryan steps out. Is this the equivalent of like Mike Pence saying, I don't want on the ticket in 2020? What's going on here?
No, look, I don't think anyone should be overly surprised by this. As you just mentioned, this was a job Paul Ryan never wanted. He made that clear. Yet he deserves a lot of credit. He stepped up into a job that nobody wanted, if you remember, despite the damage to any chance he might have of running for president himself. And he's made it very clear to people who know him for a long time. He's still got relatively young children. He's been in Congress for 20 years. He gets to walk out with a big win from tax reform, from a great deregulatory success. And this was never going to be a long-term prospect. So that's, I think, what's driving it. I don't think it's a statement in his confidence in the party or where it's headed.
Well, it's going to be an interesting dynamic, given the fact that even analysts are saying that race most likely moves into the Democratic win column for the fall. Kim, I don't know if you're watching the X's and O's yet. I'm not sure it's necessary to until sometime after Labor Day. But what does this do to the strategy for trying to keep the House for the Republicans?
It makes it a lot tougher. Look, every seat in the House is matters, those that are up for re-election. And every time you have another one of these people retiring from what you call a toss-up district, Paul Ryan never had any difficulty retaining that district. Obviously, he was very well liked and had a reputation, but it does move back into that column. And it's, again, this is going to be a grind for them. And I think what makes it even harder is they've got a great message going into the midterms in terms of the economy and in terms of successes. But the media, as we've seen, and the Democrats are determined to keep this about Trump, Russian collusion. The president doesn't always help by getting in the way of the message of the economy and things. And so it's they've got a tough row to hoe.
You know, Paul Ryan was the vice presidential candidate. And, I thought he was somewhat effective as a Speaker of the House. A lot of people kept him in the rhino category and didn't want to give him any credit for anything. But I thought that there were times, even on the tax legislation, that he was really useful to even this president. How big of a loss is this in Republican leadership for the Republican Party?
Well, first, in terms of history, I think that the criticism of Paul Ryan of being a rhino is just unfair. You know, people, the very same people who say that were the people that gave him credit for stepping up to go on Romney's ticket. They felt that he was, in fact, the conservative balance there, the person that gave them some confidence about where that presidency would go if they were elected. He has also been just consistently, since he's been in Congress, the intellectual and policy powerhouse of a conservative party. Prior to Paul Ryan, no one in his party wanted to touch entitlement reform. They thought it was the third rail of politics. He kept pushing and pulling them along until they did. He's behind a lot of the tax reform that finally made it into law. Now, being Speaker does require you to make some compromises to get to 218.
Sure.
But putting the same standard that you're going to hold him to on him and that obligation he had to get his caucus and move a very diverse caucus to a single place, comparing that to, say, Trump or a president who doesn't have to play nice like that within their own realm, it's not really a fair way of evaluating people. So I think he's done a great job in my mind.
Okay.
But, you know, also one other thing people ought to remember, he was the guy that figured out how to get his party to yes. The Boehner leadership, they were all elected to say no, put a stop sign up to the Obama agenda. And I can promise you, without Paul Ryan, there wouldn't have been tax reform. There wouldn't have been a lot of these Congressional Review Act votes that happened because he was liked and he managed to get some people who really dislike each other to come together and find a solution.
Go ahead.
Well, no, where that leads the party going in the future, though, I mean, it's always about, I know it's a trite saying, having the right person at the right time and the right job. And I would argue that this past 2 years of the Trump presidency will be very different from the next 2 years.
Sure.
And that's what Republicans need to be thinking about as they go to elect a new leader, is who's the right man for that job.
Well, and they had a very, very hard time filling the job when Ryan took it. I mean, as you already made mention to, nobody wanted it. And it was a difficult shoe to fill. To me, it is imperative, though, this go around, because you're talking about kind of fight to the death midterms, that I think the president has a good chance if people can get out there and make the case that there's been some improvements in, you know, the lives of the average taxpayer. I think they've got a good chance to hold on to some seats, but they're going to need every tool in their toolbox to make that happen. And I'm not sure that losing the third most important position in all of elective office in the United States is really something that helps them do that.
No, not necessarily. Now, look, I don't necessarily think many voters go out and vote for an individual in deciding what party to vote for, if you know what I'm saying, and that, you know, they're not going out saying, well, I'm not going to vote for my Republican anymore because Paul Ryan's not at the top of the party. There is a question of whether or not it does just deflate the base at all. And that is one of the Republicans' biggest problems at the moment, is that they are outmatched for enthusiasm by Democrats. We've seen that in some of these special elections. But again, I think what's needed more than anything is for them to get on board with the president and everyone starting to sing from the same choir hymnal about the economy and jobs, and doing their best, if at all possible, to encourage the president to stop talking about things that really, I know he gets frustrated by
right. The
Mueller probe and things we understandable, but it's not helping the party. And if he thinks things are tough now, they'll be infinitely more tough if Republicans lose the House and or the Senate.
Yeah, not to mention the I word that everyone keeps using. Let's talk about this, Kim Strassel, for just a second. There's lots of speculation that the president wants to fire Rod Rosenstein or Robert Mueller. He's made no specific indication that he's moving in that direction. Is this overblown? Are we seeing way too much of media wanting to hype something that's just not there? Or is somebody about to lose a job?
Of course it's overblown. How many times, Kevin, have we heard that the president is on the verge, it'll just take a few more seconds, promise, that he's going to fire Bob Mueller? And of course he hasn't. He has people around him that have counseled him and made him aware of the consequences of doing something like that. By the way, number one consequence is it doesn't help anything.
Right.
We'd simply get another special counsel who would be under even more pressure to continue the probe, and it might go on even longer since a new person would have to come in, get up to speed, et cetera, and so on. So it doesn't help in any way. The Democrats want to go out and talk about this all day because, going back to our prior conversation, it means that Republicans don't have the band space to talk about their accomplishments.
Yeah, which even in just bringing China to the negotiating table and making the tariffs work in our favor is a story that they need to be telling. But whether or not they will, I'm just not sure. Kim Strassel, reader in the Wall Street Journal. Kim, always a pleasure to have you with us. Thank you for taking time for us today.
Thank you, Kevin.
It's Kevin McCullough Radio. When we continue, what's the latest from Washington, D.C. and the Facebook hearings? Alicia Krauss will join me. We're going to take a visit to Haiti via my friend Todd Chapman. And before we're done, New York's favorite billionaire, John Katsimatidis, sits right here in studio with me. It is a very busy news day. Stay with us. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Stuck in traffic? We've got the answer.
Not easy to navigate across the Hudson River at this hour, especially if you choose a tunnel. Lincoln Tunnel back to New Jersey, still 45 minutes stemming from earlier problems on the Jersey side. Citybound about a 15-minute wait. Holland's not bad, Manhattan bound, but back to New Jersey, we still have this broken-down car inside the tube. That adds up to close to an hour delay. Citybound upstairs and downstairs of the George Washington Bridge are in pretty good shape. And going back to New Jersey, the span of the bridge itself in pretty good shape, too. The problem is getting you there. Westbound Cross Bronx jammed up from the Bruckner on over. Deegan northbound from the RFK Triborough on up. Southbound were slow from Fordham Road into the Cross Bronx with an accident being worked on. FDR northbound, that's a slow ride from the Brooklyn Bridge up to 34th Street with a crash. Stays heavy into the 70s, more delays into the 90s, then 150s to the GW Bridge were on the slow side. And northbound West Side Highway, that's generally sluggish, but not horrible, from the 90s up to the George Washington Bridge. So if you have to choose one of them, I think the George Washington Bridge approach from the West Side Highway will be the fastest for you, but you will see some volume. And now you know how not to go. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Every Saturday morning at 7, The Auto Lab, the longest-running auto show in New York City, can be heard for a full 2 hours. Host Professor Harold Walchalk and a diverse panel of automotive experts will answer all your basic automotive questions and fill you in on the history and culture of the auto industry. The Auto Lab is on the air and here to help for a full 2 hours. Listen every Saturday morning starting at 7, right here on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. My friends at Landmark Capital are going patriotic. They'd like you to win a $20 one-ounce Liberty Gold coin on July 6th, you know, 2 days after July 4th, that patriotic of all patriotic holidays. Call and get your 2018 Financial Survival Kit, and when you do, you're automatically registered to win potentially the $20 Liberty coin and a personal consultation with Landmark CEO David Fisher about your portfolio. Personally, with you. You hear him on Money Mondays with me on Kevin McCullough Radio. Enter by calling 844-604-2575. Contest runs April 9th through July 6th, and every entry gets the 2018 Financial Survival Kit, a value of nearly $200, at no cost to you. Enter by calling 844-604-2575. That's 844-604-2575.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. The next Salem Business Breakfast is on April 19th at the Wanacue Academic Center at Passaic County Community College, right off 287. Come for networking and a delicious breakfast by DR Catering. Steve Adubato will moderate a panel discussion on succeeding as an entrepreneur with Bernard Carrick, former New York City Police Commissioner, John Bramnick, assemblyman and partner at Bramnick Law, Susan Safis, owner of Rhino Shield of New York, and Phil Van Horn, CEO of Blue Rock Energy. Joe Piscopo and the AM 970 morning team will be broadcasting live from 6 to 10 a.m. at the college. Bring lots of business cards for networking and to enter to win great prizes, including an Apple TV. The event is free, but you have to register. So get your free tickets to the Salem Business Breakfast on April 19th at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. The Salem Business Breakfast is sponsored by Blue Rock Energy and L'Artigiano Gelato.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Our hosts all look like GQ models. See them now at am970theanswer.com.
Breaking news as it happens. You're listening to Kevin McCullough Radio.
You have to opt in to sign into any app before you use it.
And was your data included in the data sold to the malicious third parties? Your personal data.
Yes.
All right, whatever. Zuckerberg, kind of boring on day two. Most of the good stuff came yesterday. Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. Very, very busy afternoon. This afternoon we've got New York's favorite billionaire, John Catsimatidis, going to join us in just a bit. And lots of other things to yet cover. But I want to make sure that we give you the latest on what's happened in Washington, D.C. with Mr. Zuckerberg and the Facebook hearing that is and all that has been discussed over the last couple of days. Someone who, I don't know, may be more than mildly interested in this is someone who works for the Daily Wire, which is, according to the newest statistics, the second largest conservative Internet footprint in the universe. Alicia Krauss is that person that I'm referring to, and she rejoins us here at Kevin McCullough Radio. Hello, Alicia.
Hey, always good to chat.
It's always fun to have you. It's too bad the guy that does the podcast over on the other station this hour won't have you on. I mean, even though he's a colleague and all, I'm just saying, you know, it's fun to get you live here on Kevin McCullough Radio.
Are you talking about Michael J. Knowles?
I'm not talking. No. Michael could not get a radio show if his life depended upon it. I'm just saying. let's move along. Hey, so what do you make? Because we live in a tech age. Ari Zoldan's with me on Tuesdays. You're with me on Wednesdays. The whole world is on the internet now. Mm-hmm. Zuckerberg's been
and
on Capitol Hill.
And all of our children and our pets and our homes and our, you know, floral Pinterest and all that crap is too.
As I told Harris yesterday, how can you regulate something where somebody is committed to barfing their entire personal life onto the pages of the web? What do you think? How do you think Mr. Zuckerberg did over the last 48 hours? And what do you think the outcome of all this is going
to
be?
I think what is so fascinating about this to me is that when he originally went up there, and even today you're seeing both sides ask him pretty tough questions. The Weekly Standard actually had a decent recap of it that I'm sending around to people saying, hey, what is this all about? They had it yesterday, tweeted it out today. But I find it really interesting that for the first time we've had this well paid attention to, very fascinating testimony coming up that I think a lot of Americans are watching, that we weren't sure who was going to be the good guy and the bad guy. And by that, I mean, usually, you know, if we had somebody coming to testify in the Benghazi case, we knew how Republicans would fall. We knew the talking points that Democrats would use. But Mark Zuckerberg is kind of the first testimony I've ever heard on the Hill to the Senate and House committees where it could be a curveball. I hope that's a proper sportsy reference. I'm not good at sports and don't know about them, so I'm not sure if it is accurate or not. But it really was a curveball of who was going to say what and what line of questions he was going to get from different people.
Yeah.
And you saw even Democrats like Dick Durbin yesterday saying, hey, would you want it shared who you've been chatting with in Messenger?
Yeah.
Would you want it shared where you stayed, what hotel you stayed in last night? And I think that it's been entertaining and interesting, and I think good that both Republicans and Democrats, albeit for different reasons, are asking him pretty tough questions.
Actually, the term you were looking for was behind the back bounce pass, not curveball.
I have no idea what that
and,
means.
And I just wanted to make clear that I did know what you were trying to get to. Now, let me ask you this, because Harris asked me yesterday on Fox, you know, what in Juan Williams, what do you think is going to happen? I said, well, and Juan's like, well, you know, maybe more regulation. I've thought about this for weeks since the Cambridge Analytica stuff started coming up. I don't know that any form of regulation that Mr. Zuckerberg is going to voluntarily go along with is going to do anything. Because let me finish
volunteer.
My thought on this.
Yeah.
He knows already more about everything that went wrong than anybody that's sitting in that room. And he's keeping more concealed about what went wrong than he certainly is revealing. And he's just hoping that they haven't figured out very much. Therefore, when he says, as he was asked yesterday, will you help us regulate you? Of course he's going to say yes, because he's going to willingly be regulated on stuff he doesn't care about. And the stuff that really does matter, I'm not sure that he's going to volunteer that. So how can you self?
That, yeah.
It's like Iran being in charge of their own nuclear arsenal.
I agree. And I think that the biggest thing is, in Senator Ted Cruz's line of questions was really good on this yesterday.
Right. He was one of the better ones.
Are you portraying your personal opinion, which is your right under the First Amendment, or are you a publishing provider that is supposed to be equal to all? Because if that question itself is answered, and I'm not a big person on regulation, many of the reasons for which, you know, you just stated that you said on Fox News earlier. And so I think that I totally agree with you there. And I think additionally, even if they agree to do something, their algorithms and their engineers and their people that I think one of the most fascinating things that we saw was those 20,000 people that are kind of monitoring everything. Now, with hundreds of millions of users, they can't, they can't monitor every single post. But what is the political affiliation of them? Which priority do they tend to put things in? And, I think that I don't know that you're going to see this flock of people leaving Facebook, because truly it has become an addiction and not just for
the generation. Okay, color me odd here. Well. I'm not sure the American people even care about this. I think at the end of the day, they may say, wait, did somebody get into our emails or something? But beyond that, I think they're like,
they do.
Go ahead.
Especially because you saw who was a Democratic congressman today that was trying to make it sound as if the Trump campaign was able to get around the ad approval because they had 6 million ads that they paid for in the last few weeks of the election and Hillary Clinton only had 60,000, right? No, maybe that was just the Trump campaign purchasing better ads or more ads.
Yeah.
They knew how to get them approved by Facebook. I mean, this is something that businesses do all over the country. You are pretty aware, and maybe the Clinton campaign just failed at it. So I actually disagree. I think that Trump voters will care about this because they're sick and tired of hearing the narrative from the left that says, oh, Russia is the only reason
right.
that Donald Trump won.
Right. I guess my point that I was trying to make was, I don't think that Aunt June sitting out there showing baby photos of her little grandbaby to, you know, her nieces and nephews, I don't think she cares about whether Cambridge Analytica did a survey of what Sesame Street character she is or isn't. I don't think they care about that.
I think that they do care, though, if Mark Zuckerberg is paying attention to what Aunt Sally is saying about Aunt June and then leaks that information or is using that information.
That may very well be true. Or, like he did in 2012, be totally willing to give Aunt June stuff to Obama and then say, well, because it's Trump. See, that's where I think the whole disingenuousness of this just falls apart. Because in 2012, nobody was offended. He was brilliant. Their brown shirts were awesome. They had thought way ahead of their time. The accolades were huge. Trump does the exact same thing. Nothing different about this. Fill out this survey, then match it with your profile information.
Trump paid for it, and Obama didn't have to.
Well, Obama's campaign already was. It was just part of the operation. Okay, so enough of that. Hey, breaking news, real quick. Only 20 seconds on it. Your governor, Jerry Brown, he's gonna follow through and send troops to the border, like Texas and Mexico.
Yeah,
for
but
real.
They're not gonna do what they need to do because he's already saying they're not gonna enforce federal immigration law.
Yeah, but once they get down there, aren't they under the auspices of the Pentagon and the Border Patrol who have to serve? So I think, I'll still take 400 more eyes and ears on the southern border. I think it's a good thing. Alicia, always energetic to talk to you. Thank you for being here.
Thanks.
It's Kevin McCullough live. Glad you're with us. Kevin McCullough Radio. We continue. My very good friend Todd Chapman stops into the studio next.
News, opinion, passion. This is AM 970, The Answer.
We have 49 degrees under partly sunny skies at this hour. What's going on? We have the answer. Homicide detectives are investigating a body found along the path tracks in New Jersey, which reports indicate may be a baby. James Flippin has more.
The Hudson County Prosecutor's Office has confirmed its homicide unit is on the scene, but have not confirmed the age of the deceased. The body was apparently discovered under a footbridge not far from the Jersey City Journal Square station, inside of a bag or possibly a suitcase. Images circulating on social media show a continued heavy police presence there. James Flippin, NBC News Radio, New Jersey.
A warm-up is finally coming to the New York City area. Forecasters predict temperatures will get in the 60s by tomorrow, 70s by Friday, and near 80 by Saturday. It'll be very short-lived, however, with the mercury dipping back into the 50s by Sunday into next week. New York and New Jersey have been dealing with unseasonably cold temperatures, snow, and winter-like conditions these first 2 weeks of April. And Amtrak is planning another round of summer repair work at Penn Station, and Scott Pringle fills us in.
The repairs will focus on replacing parts of Track 19 at Penn Station. The track will be out of action for part of the summer. Amtrak also plans to do work on the Empire Tunnel and Spuytenduyvil Bridge. Now, during these repairs from late May to early September, Amtrak trains that run along the Hudson River, they'll be rerouted from Penn Station to Grand Central Terminal. Now, no major changes are expected for New Jersey Transit and LIRR commuters. Scott Pringle, NBC News Radio, New York.
In sports, Yankees take on the Red Sox in Boston tonight. Mets looking for win number 8 in a row as they look to sweep the Marlins in Miami. Nets take on the Celtics in Boston. Knicks finish their season in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. Taking a look at the traffic, outbound side of Lincoln Tunnel, a 45-minute delay. Citybound, 15 minutes. Outbound Holland Tunnel, still close to an hour delay with a broken-down car inside the tube. Mostly cloudy skies tonight with an overnight low of 42. Clouds tomorrow, we warm it up to a high of 61. Partly sunny on Thursday, high of 75, and close to 80 over the weekend. And now you know what's going on. I am Mike Barker on AM 970, The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. We like to help you make sure your money is well taken care of. It's one of the reasons why Gary Goldberg stops by the studio every week to give us his 2 cents on something important. And Gary, this week, oil sector investment and sectors to avoid. There are some sectors of the markets that aren't doing as well. What are some of them that you don't like?
Well, let me start with the things that I do like. I think that's important because oil jumped. You mentioned oil. Oil jumped 3% yesterday because of a possible resolution to this tariff spat with China. So if people are looking for a sector that is going to improve, in my opinion, if we resolve the issues with China, oil is an interesting place. And you get dividends in some of these oil stocks that range from 5 to 6% while you're waiting.
Wow.
Now, in addition, Kevin, you've got escalating tensions in the Middle East with Syria and Saudi Arabia also. So the oil sector is an interesting place for income investors with some tolerance, obviously, for risk.
All right. And sectors to avoid.
You also wanted to know sectors to avoid. Anything with exposure right now to emerging markets I would avoid unless you're a speculator. I like the technology area because it's been under some pressure with the Facebook issue, but that's a good growth area for investors, and we do it at Gary Goldberg Financial Services for our clients.
And friends, if you've got questions about how well-balanced your portfolio is, why don't you call Gary Goldberg and find out for yourself? It's 800-377-5757, 800-377-5757, and if he can, he'll take your call personally. You can also look them up online at ggfs.com. That's Gary Goldberg Financial Services, ggfs.com, or just call him, 800-377-5757. Gary Goldberg, thanks so much.
Eye on Real Estate, New York's longest running show on real estate, answers everyone's questions, even if you live in California.
Are you calling from LA?
Yes, I am.
Dottie Herman, CEO and president of Douglas Elliman Real Estate, and her expert team will help you through the ins and outs of property ownership.
We have great listeners, a great audience, and a great team of professionals.
Call with your questions, 866-970-9622, every Saturday morning starting at 10 on AM 970, The Answer.
Tweet us on Twitter. Like us on Facebook. We're everywhere. AM 970, TheAnswer.com.
What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
Glad to have you with us, Kevin McCullough. You've heard me on different outlets over the last couple of days telling you about the children that are in this little town called Savoncabrite of Haiti. It's this very isolated, very deserted, dry, arid area of a plateau in the plains of eastern Haiti. You go out of the national capital of Port-au-Prince about 30 miles. It takes you about 2 hours to get there. That's how bad the roads are. But there are about 3,000 people. It's about 300 families that are dying of starvation. They don't have clean drinking water. They have polluted water sources. And my friends at Food for the Poor, who we partner with a couple of times each year, have come along and said, we're going to do something about this here with the listeners to Kevin McCullough Radio. So, Todd, it's good to have you back here in the midst of talking about the news of the day and so forth. I want to take a few minutes out and make sure people are aware that if they still want to make a difference, they can. But explain to us the need. You just went and saw this area. Explain where it's at. Explain why it's in such bad shape.
Yeah, so Savan Cabrit is outside of Port-au-Prince, like you said, not too far from the Dominican Republic, and it's in a very, very dry, isolated area. Haiti's been under drought for about 3 years, and so this community, this area that used to be a rich agricultural valley, very fertile, now it's just a dust bowl. And there we find in this community about 300 families that are trapped. They have no way to get out. I didn't see a single vehicle. I've been there twice, haven't seen a single vehicle part of that community. And, you know, so if you try to walk out of there or take a mule or something out, you can't get anywhere. It takes you hours, if not half a day, to get anywhere. And these families too poor to relocate, so they're just stranded. And they need everything. They need food. Their kids are starving. They need clean, safe drinking water. The only water supply is a little irrigation canal when it's there. And because of the drought, it's not there all the time. And it's contaminated. Kids have contracted cholera, which is deadly from that. And so we're working to just bring transformation to that community. And we need, frankly, our help from our listeners there to the answer to come on board if you feel so led. $50 to Food for the Poor allows us to feed one of these starving kids two meals a day every day for a year. And also, part of your gift goes to build a well or a solar-powered water purification system right there in that community, which will service that entire community. Kevin, this is a pretty amazing water solution. Instead of trucking in water, you know, every week for the foreseeable future, we found that it's best to build these solar-powered water purification units, taps into the water table down there, and chemically it purifies this water, pumps out 10,000 gallons of water a day. That's enough for a community of 3,000 people. So ultimately, we can bring this community back to life and save the lives of these folks. And I'm just hoping that some of our 978 The Answer listeners will get on board today and give a gift of $50 or $150 and save multiple kids.
Yeah, there's a couple of ways you can do this. One, you can just call the number, 855-919-4673. Be as generous as you can. 855-919-4673. There is also an opportunity if you happen to be a small business owner. And if you would like to have the advantage of maybe a tax write-off for your company by doing something good for your fellow man, this is a perfect way to do it. For a gift of $2,500, that's what we're asking, here's what you would be able to accomplish with that $2,500 gift. Number one, you'd get a tax-deductible credit for your $2,500 gift to Food for the Poor, helping 50 children. That's about two classrooms worth of kids that currently are starving and don't have clean water to drink. So immediately you're doing something great and you get a tax deduction for it. That's awesome. Then in addition to that, we at the radio stations here in New York, we just want to say thank you to you for doing that. And we'd like to give your company $2,500 worth of free advertising, which means you're going to get 40 plus commercials on our station. We're going to give you some digital exposure and some other things on our website and social media and stuff like that. There's a way you can find out all the details about that. You got to call my friend Laura in the front office. But if you call and you give a gift of $2,500 from your company is eligible for that complimentary advertising. Thank you. And we would love to do that for you. You know why we love to do it? Because we know it's helping kids. And that's what we're all about. That's why we're doing this. So if you can do $2,500 on behalf of your company for a tax-deductible gift and a complimentary advertising campaign on our station, maybe you've even thought, well, I'd like to try advertising on the radio. I'd like a really good deal. And, oh, by the way, if I could help change the world in the process, well, that wouldn't be bad either. Well, I've got the solution for you. It's right there. It's right there. $2,500 gift, and you're going to get a month's worth of ads. It's going to be really, really cool. But in addition to that, you're just going to be helping kids that no one else is helping. The world is largely forgotten about. In fact, Todd, as you were describing where Savan Cabrit is, they're so isolated. They're so remote. You know, the UN isn't setting up shop there. Right. You don't have even whatever the equivalent of the Haitian welfare office or anything with an outpost there. I mean, there is nothing in this flat area where Savan Cabrit is, and these kids are dying, and we need to get them help now. So call that number, 855-919-4673, 855-919-4673, 855-919-4673. Todd Chapman, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thanks, Kev.
Kevin McCullough coming back with more news for your Wednesday. John Catsimatidis sits down with me. Stay with us.
Jay Sekulow needs to see Congress do something, anything.
337 of the president's nominees are awaiting confirmation in the United States Senate. 32 of them are judges. The stymie we're getting in Congress is just frankly unacceptable, and that's why we've got to break this logjam and exert what we call maximum pressure on the United States Congress.
Jay Sekulow, live, weeknights at 6, right before Larry Elder at 7, on AM 970, The Answer.
Hey friends, Kevin McCullough. If you're feeling run down, don't have energy, it's because you're not eating the fruits and the veggies and getting the energy that they should be giving you the way you should, that you're supposed to. And that's why it's time to try Balance of Nature's fruits and veggies in capsule form. They're not like vitamins with synthetics. These are natural food in a capsule, and they use the whole food. They got vital nutrients because they use 100% of the plant, the seed, the stems, fruits, veggies. It's all there. It's whole food nutrition. Each capsule has 10 servings of fruits and veggies. And once you start taking Balance of Nature, you're going to feel great. People report their skin looks better. They've got less aches and pains. But forget about that. If you're fighting the cold, the allergies, the flu, I'm telling you, it has worked wonders in my family's life. And I can tell you 100%, I do not miss a day taking Balance of Nature. It's time to improve the quality of your life, so get started now. Call Balance of Nature. They've got an offer you can't beat. 800-246-8751. Use promo code THEANSWER. You're going to get 35% off your first month's supply. Go to balanceofnature.com. Make sure you use the promo code THEANSWER. Good health is only a phone call away. You hear them say it all the time. Balance of Nature. 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. The promo code is THEANSWER. It's 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751.
This is Dan Prost with 60 Seconds of Sanity for upstream-ideas.com. When are you all going to start standing up for the majority? And here's who the majority is. I'm the majority. We're the first ones taxed and the last ones considered and the first ones punished when something like this happens because our rights are the ones being taken away. That was part of a beautifully delivered commentary by law-abiding everyman Mark Robinson at a Greensboro, North Carolina City Council meeting. Robinson's I Am Spartacus moment was in response to a debate over whether to cancel a local gun show in the wake of the Parkland school shooting. We demonize the police and we make the criminals into victims and we're talking about restricting guns? Robinson continued. I want to live in Mr. Robinson's neighborhood. He laid out the bill of particulars for the people who play by the rules only to get fleeced by the political ruling class they finance and ridiculed in the process. Most importantly, Mark Robinson reminded us that this grand experiment in representative Republican government rises or falls based on the civic engagement of the Mark Robinsons in America. It's not enough to applaud Mark Robinson. We must emulate him. I am Mark Robinson.
Joe Piscopo here asking, are you tired of dealing with dummies? Well, experience the smart way to buy a car at Route 22 Toyota with no hidden fees, no back and forth, no pressure, and no wasting time dealing with dummies. Alex Kinsella, the general manager, prides himself on his low lease offers and 0% APR financing for up to 72 months for qualified buyers. And now my buddy Alex wants you to experience their new smart way to service. Listen to my show every weekday morning from 6 to 10 a.m. because you'll never know when Route 22 Toyota will be giving me the go-ahead to give away free things like a multi-point inspection and oil change with filter to the first five callers. Call 855-621-9949 and say, Joe sent me. Experience how one caring family in the car business is out to change the entire car business by offering you the smarter way to buy a car and more. 855-621-9949. Route 22 Toyota, Route 22 West, Hillside, New Jersey, or at Route22Toyota.com. All your European makes excluded.
Join the Staten Island Economic Development Corporation at the 20th annual SIEDC Business Conference on April 17th at the Hilton Garden Inn on Staten Island. Attendance is free. Free seminars, free networking, and free career development workshops are among the many professional opportunities scheduled for this all-day event. This is the largest free professional business-to-business event on Staten Island, presented by Investors Bank and hosted by Northwell Health. April 17th, all day. Hilton Garden Inn, Staten Island. For more information, visit SIEDC.org.
Breaking news and local news. Find it on our website, AM970TheAnswer.com. Happening in New York or across the globe. Learn why it matters first on Kevin McCullough Radio.
So glad you're with us. It's a big, busy news Thursday. That on Wednesday, man, I get ahead of myself here. The hour continues, though. We've got a lot to get to. And now I get to welcome back to the studio New York's favorite billionaire. You know him as the owner of Gristiti's and all the
yummy stuff you can find there, including L'Artagiano Gelato. I'm going to start having some of that here soon. But John Catsimatidis, is so good to see you again, sir. Welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Kevin. I mean, it's almost spring.
You know what? Don't tease me like that. You say that's going to happen, and then it'll snow tomorrow, and I'm going to be mad at you if you do that to me. Hey, last week you came into my studio and you sat down with me and you made news, and then it got shot out everywhere. And thank you to your people for doing that. But let's make some more news. When you sit down to do your broadcast at the top of the hour, and if people are listening anywhere in the country, they want to get on, it's am970theanswer.com. You've got one of the attorneys that's advising Michael Cohen coming to join.
We have David Schwartz on. He's sitting in the next studio right now, and he's waiting for us. And we'll find out what's the latest, what's going on. I mean, things are really going crazy in Washington. I understand the FBI director,
Mr. Ray. Right. Oh, Mr. Mueller or Mr. Comey? Mr. Comey.
Mr. Comey.
Yeah.
That has called President Trump a mob boss. I mean, what kind of language is that? You know, give me a break.
I want to ask you this question because you're a very busy man. You're probably as busy as the president. You're just not running the country in the process. But what did you make of how that raid went down? In terms of going after his personal attorney, going after all of his personal records and all of the stuff that was, part of his work with the president. Is there no client confidentiality anymore?
Well, I was shocked a little bit that and I said to myself, they better have something great.
Yeah, blockbuster.
A blockbuster for them to go and break down the door of the lawyer of the president. I mean, and we still don't know. There's a lot of rumors going on what they're going after. Today there was a rumor going on that they wanted the video or proof that when Trump made some remarks on, NBC, about women and grabbing them.
About the excess
that
Hollywood
he had
tape.
So much fun.
Yeah.
But, you know, what does that have to do with the Russians?
Well, evidently.
The Russians made
it. Russians don't have anything to do with the Russians, yeah. and doesn't have to for Mueller to keep his counsel open. John, let me ask you this. Big news out of D.C. today, and I'm sure that you've had him on your show, but Speaker of the House, the third most important seat in all of the seat of government, he's the third in line if anything happens to the president, decided he doesn't want to run for reelection. Is it Trump fatigue? Is it Washington fatigue? How do you read Paul Ryan's actions today?
I think Paul Ryan had to compromise along with President Trump, had to compromise, and they got some of the stuff they wanted in the economic bill and some of the stuff he didn't want. And I think Paul Ryan is being particular in saying, well, I can't follow my agenda. I think Paul Ryan is wrong. I think Trump tried to put both sides together. He tried to get as much as he can for the country. And at the end of the day, he didn't get what we wanted for New York or for California. But at the end of the day, I think President Trump said, let me make 44 states happy and pass something. Did not pass anything at all.
Yeah.
And the few things that he compromised on, I think, didn't make Paul Ryan happy.
So you don't think it's just fatigue and he wants to go spend time with his kids?
Well, if it's fatigue, then he's an awful weak guy and he doesn't deserve the job.
Well, he does lift weights three times a week. I'm not going to call him weak.
You know, but, you can be weak,
in spirit versus mind versus body. Well, it'll be interesting to see what do you think the play for the Republicans is now? Who do you think steps up to take his position?
Well, they're talking about Scalise, who's very popular in Washington, especially what happened to him.
You survive an assassination attempt, you're going to be a little bit popular, I think.
I think it'll probably be him.
Okay. Well, it'll be interesting. The last time this seat was open, you remember Paul Ryan didn't want it. They had to come basically beg him to take it, and they went through three or four people before they got to him, and he just was like kicking and screaming, I don't want this job. Turns out I thought Paul Ryan did a pretty good job over the time that he was there.
He was okay.
I thought he was better than Boehner in many respects.
Boehner had his own problems. You're absolutely correct.
Let me ask you about foreign policy for a second, because Syria gassed its people a number of days ago now, and it's taking a lot of time to get the U.S. response formulated to what happened there. What do you or your sources tell you is probably going to happen in response to what Bashar al-Assad pulled off?
Well, President Trump has tweeted already saying, duck, there's some missiles coming. And I think he'll probably do a hit on Syria.
Is that the extent of it, though, just missiles? Because we did that last time, and it doesn't seem to have deterred him at all.
Well, it deterred Gaddafi in Libya.
It did.
He shot the missile right into his tent.
So do we go after Assad personally now?
I think there's a possibility that Trump will do that.
There might be a little bit of a red laser dot on the back of Assad's vest at some point. He better be taking care. Hey, the Cats at Night broadcast, if you're listening on AM 970 The Answer in New York City, it's coming up at the top of the hour. You don't want to miss this. All kinds of exclusives, including Michael Cohen's attorney and also health expert Betty McCoy. John, I'll see you in just a few minutes.
We'll see you there.
Kevin McCullough Radio, stay with us.
Wednesday afternoon, it's your information fast lane at AM 970, The Answer. The information you need, the voices you know, the analysis you trust. 4 hours, fast-paced and filled with more newsmakers than any other radio station in America. From the Wild West to the White House, and of course, from the heart of New York's information hub. Michael Medved blasts off at 3. Kevin McCullough, breaking news as it happens at 4. John Catsimatidis getting both sides of the story at 5. And Jay Sekulow, making news from the nation's capital at 6. Get your information super infusion every Wednesday. The fastest 4 hours in radio. The voices you know. The most newsmakers anywhere. The stories you need and the analysis you trust. Only on AM 970. The Answer.
Hi, Kevin McCullough. The next Salem Business Breakfast is on April 19th at the Wanacue Academic Center at Passaic County Community College, right off 287. Come for networking and a delicious breakfast by DR Catering. Steve Adubato will moderate a panel discussion on succeeding as an entrepreneur with Bernard Carrick, former New York City Police Commissioner, John Bramnick, assemblyman and partner at Bramnick Law, Susan Safis, owner of Rhino Shield of New York, and Phil Van Horn, CEO of Blue Rock Energy. Joe Piscopo and the AM 970 morning team will be broadcasting live from 6 to 10 a.m. at the college. Bring lots of business cards for networking and to enter to win great prizes, including an Apple TV. The event is free, but you have to register. So get your free tickets to the Salem Business Breakfast on April 19th at am970theanswer.com. That's am970theanswer.com. The Salem Business Breakfast is sponsored by Blue Rock Energy and L'Artigiano Gelato.
Your table, ladies.
Thank you so much.
So, Vicky, how have you been?
Great. It's been so long. Last time we saw each other was what? Your daughter's wedding on that yacht? What was it? The Atlantis?
Yes, the Atlantis. It was perfect for the wedding with its three decks, bridal suite, immaculate restrooms, dance floor, and state-of-the-art sound system.
The food and service was great, and I hear they bake those delicious rolls right on board.
They do.
You know, I've been trying to decide what to do for my daughter's Sweet 16 and some corporate events.
You should absolutely book the Atlantis. They do more than just weddings. Sunset cocktail parties, bar and bat mitzvahs, luncheons, and guests are able to board from several locations. Francesca was so easy to work with. Call her at 212-385-9400 or email her at events@franstouchofclass.com.
Charter the Atlantis for your event today. Call Francesca at 212-385-9400 or visit franstouchofclass.com. For a limited time, mention AM 970 for a free menu upgrade on the Atlantis.
The next Salem Business Breakfast is on April 19th at the Wanacue Academic Center at Passaic County Community College. Join Joe Piscopo for a live broadcast, along with breakfast and networking, followed by a panel discussion with Steve Adubato. Get your free tickets at am970theanswer.com. Cats at Night with John Catsimatidis is next. Sponsored by the Red Apple Group on AM 970, The Answer. What you need to know when you need it. It's Kevin McCullough Radio.
All right, Kevin McCullough, glad you're with us. Thank you for being here. Thank you for being part of the great discussion every day in New York. And if you don't get us live, please check out the podcast. More and more of you every single day are checking it out. You can go to my website, thebingethinker.com, and just click on the podcast link. You can also go to soundcloud.com/KMC Radio and get all the podcasts that we're producing every single week. It's up to 10 now, I think, different podcasts that we are offering. But the one of this show is Kevin McCullough Radio, and we're glad to have you join us. I'm certainly thrilled that we, you know, are at least it appears in a very serious way that the president is going to take action against Assad. And at some point in time, it looks like Russia is going to be at odds with us. He actually just called out Iran and Russia today in a way that was so unusual for somebody that Democrats want to believe he was working in collusion with. I just don't think that that's the normal way you talk to your people that, you know, helped you out, because I don't believe that they did. So I don't think he needed to. But he warned the Kremlin, and he basically said, guys, if I were you, I'd get the heck out of Dodge. We are coming. There's going to be a U.S. strike in Syria, and it's going to happen. So you need to get yourself relocated, which he wasn't required to do and may have been a little bit of overkill as far as I'm concerned, because I don't particularly care if those Russian guys are on the Syrian Air Force bases or on their airstrips. I think what we need to do right now is to put a fist right through Assad's jaw and say, you've killed your last innocent person. We're not letting you do this anymore. You voluntarily become arrested and go get tried for war crimes, or we're taking you out. And I think that's the point where we're at. I know that there's people that are concerned about regime change. I don't think it's that big of a deal, actually. I think this is such a broken part of the world. Let's do what we can to put down this killer and find somebody that's going to be a more stable hand. We haven't had a great track record of doing that. I'll admit that. Afghanistan's been a bit of a problem for us. But we cannot let this man continue to gas innocent people over and over and over again simply because they disagree with him. We can't do that. And so the president did warn everybody today. You better not respond to a U.S. airstrike on Syria, because we're gonna do it, and we're going to knock him. We're going to hit him. We're going to take out his air force. Whatever it is we're going to do, we're going to do it, and we're going to do it big. So if I was Mr. Putin, Vladimir, yes, I am Vladimir, I will think about what you have said. You do that, Mr. Putin, because I don't think Mr. Trump is one that's in the mood to play games right now, at least not as long as Rod Rosenstein and Bob Mueller draw breath. I'm Kevin McCullough. We'll see you next time.